My Precious, a TED Talk, and us being students during Lent. First, My Precious. And no, I'm not saying that because I had a change of heart with Father Don's dog, and I'm calling the dog that. My Precious is a phrase that comes up quite often in The Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings and its prequel, The Hobbit, is a series written by the great Catholic author J.R.R. Tolkien. And maybe you've read the books or saw the movies that came out a number of years ago. But if you didn't read the books or you didn't see the movie, the important thing to know is that one of the central characters in the plot of The Lord of the Rings is this ring. And the ring has great power. The one who possesses the ring, the ring has a strong effect on them. It begins to overtake their life and controls them, even to the point whether it's Bilbo or Gollum, they find themselves with the ring, cradling it in their hands, just smiling at it, staring at it, stroking it, and saying, "My precious, my precious." Everyone has a precious. As I mentioned a time or two from this ambo, my precious growing up was sports. You name the sport, I played it. If I wasn't playing it, I was watching it. In a very particular way, my precious were the Cubs. They still are in a way, right? But they used to have a hold on me. The Cubs did. They had a control of my life. And most of the time, these things that are good, that maybe have become our precious, they're good things in of themselves. But because we have blinders on, we have blind spots, these things slowly just latch onto us. They take hold of us. They have power over us, and they control us, even to the point of maybe us holding it, staring at it, smiling at it, and calling it our precious. And because the church knows that we have a tendency for you and I to do that, in her wisdom, she gives us a penitential season. And here we are, the first Sunday of Lent. And always in the first Sunday of Lent, we hear the gospel of Jesus in the desert. Whether it's the gospel of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, this year we're in Luke. So we hear Jesus going out in the desert, and he's engaging in a battle against Satan. And specifically, he wants us to engage in the battle with him in the desert, to go to battle against the thing that is choking us, or that can choke us. The thing that has a strong effect on us, or that controls us. And it is true that many of us, we all have a precious, and they're all different preciouses. And as I was praying about this homily, I was going to keep it just as a general precious. But then I just got this image of St. Paul at this ambo this weekend preaching at all the masses. Or St. Augustine at this ambo at all the masses preaching. And I thought of St. Paul or St. Augustine observing us for a week before they were to preach at all the masses. And as they were to observe us, I think that they wouldn't keep it as a general precious, but they would talk pointedly about our precious being our phones. And considering the ring more and the effect that the ring has, and very similar to the effect that our phones have on us. See, the ring beckons one not just to own it, but to always spend more time with it. The ring, if one who had it ever lost it, or it was no longer in their possession, they would freak out. Frantically search for it. Where'd my precious go? Precious. They'd kill people for it. The ring whispers to the heart of the person who has it without them really even knowing it, saying, just look at me. Don't forget me. I'm the source of your friendship. I'm the source of your happiness. Just don't put me down. Keep holding me. The ring also makes one invisible. If they put the ring on, they become invisible to those around them. And they perceive themselves and think that they're in this other reality. But it's really not reality at all. And the ring always slowly corrupts those who possess it, and it always takes a deep toll on them, both physically and mentally. Now, this isn't the case with all of us with our phones. Some of you are like, Father Mark, I don't even have a phone. Somebody at Mass last night at their preach, they said, Father Mark, look at this. And they flipped their phone open, a flip phone. I go, what's that? But it is the case for many of us, and it's common. And I would say, especially when we're talking about affecting one mentally and physically, it's especially the case for our youth. And this is where the TED Talk comes in. A parishioner here who has three small children recently told me that he saw this TED Talk with his wife, and he said, Father Mark, you got to see this. So I said, send it to me. And the TED Talk's by a guy named Colin Karchner. Colin travels across the country, and he speaks to junior high kids and high schoolers on the effects of the phone and social media. When I watched the talk by Karchner, I was blown away. It had an effect on me. We posted it on the website, and it's on the front page of the website. I implore you, everyone, to watch this TED Talk, especially parents here. There's a specific part of this, of Colin's talk, where he mentions that he was at his school talking to 500 middle schoolers, and he passed out a piece of paper to all 500 kids, and he asked them to finish this statement. One thing my parents don't know about social media is this. And these were some of the responses he got back from the middle schoolers. One thing my parents don't know about social media is how much I love it and hate it at the same time. One thing my parents don't know about social media is it makes me very, very, very insecure. One thing my parents don't know about social media is it makes me sad and depressed. One thing my parents don't know about social media is how it puts pressure on me to be perfect. A teenage girl, a little bit older, says this to Colin. She says, Colin, I received my first phone and social media accounts when I was 11 years old. At age of 11, everything evil was at my fingertips. Pornography on my feed, accounts that promoted eating disorders and self-harm. This stuff destroyed me. I wish so badly that my parents had monitored my phone while I was young and saved me from that darkness. I dealt with suicide attempts, self-harm, anorexia, hospital visits, countless therapy, and addiction. I was lucky to survive. It took away my innocence, and it taught me to hate who I am today. That is not a unique case. Not at all. 2 months ago, I was listening to a podcast that had a psychologist on, and he was spouting off tons of data that was linking specifically junior high kids and high school kids of the rate of depression and suicide to social media usage, and especially the year that the smartphone was readily available to the hands of so many. And these statistics that are being written about rampant right now have got experts around the world saying, we have a full-out, blown-out crisis on our hands. And I see that all the time. I hear it in confession all the time. Karchner says, we should not be shocked that our children today are crashing and burning. Last week, I spoke to 400 junior hires in Woodridge. And towards the end of the time, last Sunday that I had with them, I challenged them that for Lent to give up social media. I said, to give up Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube. there was an audible gasp that almost knocked me over. One girl actually screeched out loud. A couple days ago, I was on the phone with a priest buddy of mine who was ordained the same year. He's a priest in Peoria. And as I, on Friday mornings, I was telling, kind of working with him a little bit, what the Lord was on my heart to preach about this weekend. And he's also a chaplain at a K-8 school down in Peoria. And as we're talking on the phone, talking about this, we came to the agreement on the phone. We said, I don't know, especially junior hires, I don't know if they're even capable of giving up social media for 40 days. Like, they can't do it. There's too much social risk at stake. The fear of what I would miss out on. And with that being the reality of so much of our youth, and let's not kid ourselves, we're not talking just youth here. We're talking adults as well. But with this having such a hold and maybe affecting in such a way, and especially the junior high kids is 13, 14, 15 years old, 16 years old, as they're in such a time of discovery of themselves, of their identity, of who they are, and then you throw social media on that, it's killing them. Literally. And because maybe, and I'm convinced that they're not capable of giving it up for 40 days. That is to say, as a parent, it's okay to require your child to give up social media for 40 days. And more parents are coming to me saying, Father Mark, forget 40 days. My, especially junior high kids, are off. They don't have social media at all anymore. I'm tired of seeing the life get sucked out of them. They're done. You have the power to do that. And some of you are saying, Father Mark, don't be so brutish. It's the 21st century. Cell phones are part of our life. Very true, it is the 21st century, and cell phones are part of our life. Our cell phones are not going anywhere. I would probably look around and frantically if I lost mine. But what we do on them is really important, especially when nobody's watching. And I'm convinced I'm not saying anything that we all don't know already. The whole point of Lent, the entire point of Lent here is to detach ourselves from those things that we may think on the surface has no effect on us. But when we spend time without it, we realize that it has had a stronghold on my life. What controls you? What controls me? Where have we become attached to things where it not only affects our relationship with others, but it affects our relationship with God? For many of us, it's our phone. Our phone leads us to sin. That's where becoming a student comes in during Lent. And so for us all to hear this, but especially for our youth here today to hear this, the church during the time of Lent is saying this: let me teach you how to be happy. Like, really happy. Let me teach you how to be authentically happy. Not the happiness that holding a ring will bring you, and smiling at it, and staring at it, and stroking it. These things are not bad. They just aren't Jesus. And any precious that is not Jesus, sooner or later will disappoint you. I promise you that. And the battle that I'm convinced that the Lord wants us to engage in with him in the desert this Lent is a battle to be quiet, to hear him say to us, put your precious down and look at me. Let me be your precious. practically, what does that look like? It looks like prayer. Lent will be a failure if you don't start praying or you're not praying more. So I'm asking for us to be, for all of us, to be a student this Lent in two ways. The first is to read the section in the Catechism on prayer. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, you can buy at Walmart for $9.99. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is sold at every single Walmart. Just as everybody in your family should have a Bible, everybody in your family should have a Catechism of the Catholic Church. There are four sections in the Catechism, the last of which is the section on prayer. It is beautifully written, and it's the church saying, let me teach you how to be happy. Read that last section of the Catechism, section four, even if it's just chapters 3 and 4 of that section. And this isn't just for adults here. This is for high school kids, all the way down to junior high, because junior high kids are learning harder things earlier and earlier and earlier in school. They're learning algebra and chemistry earlier and earlier and earlier. They can read the Catechism in junior high. Or we can read it to them if they're even younger. And secondly, if you really want your life to change, come to adoration. Seek him out and visit him up here in the sanctuary before the Blessed Sacrament. This door back here is always unlocked from 7 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. I would love to see more people in this chapel at 7 o'clock at night during Lent. The other day I was here and a mother walked in with 6 children and they just kneeled here for 20 minutes in silence. Her children all were in silence for 20 minutes with her. Jesus goes into the desert to pick a fight. To pick a fight with whatever controls us. Will you and I, this Lent, hand over our precious to him?